Let's turn, please, again to Revelation chapter 11. Good to see you all. May the Lord bless us as we gather together around His Word today. This section of Scripture deals with these two witnesses. Now, remember what we're doing here in our studies. We're thinking of the things that will happen on this earth and which God has told us will tell us clearly that the time of the Lord's return is very, very near. It is the privilege of every Christian to share in the knowledge of what God is going to do. That's our privilege. The rest of the world haven't an idea at all how things are going to turn out in this world. That's why you hear scientists today and politicians today talking about an awful catastrophe that's going to come in the world because of climate change. And we must do something about climate change. Otherwise, the ice cap at the North Pole and the ice cap at the South Pole, they're all going to melt and we're going to be up to our eyebrows in water. And everything will be drowned in many parts of the world. And there's islands upon the oceans that they'll be swamped. That'll never happen. But men have no idea of what will happen. I read an article some time ago that scientists have spotted a meteorite or an asteroid that's heading towards the Earth, and it'll be here in, 150, 200 years' time. And we need to now set up measures to blow it up before it hits us. Because if it hits us, well, that'll be the end of us. It'll never happen. All these notions spring from the ignorance that men have regarding the future. They have no idea. But you and I have the privilege of having been given by God an indication of how things are going to be before the Lord returns. I want to emphasize that to you so that you might not neglect the Bible and what it has to say about the future. I mean, Noah, he knew what was going to happen. He built an ark because he knew what was going to happen. He warned others of what was going to happen. Nobody took any heed to him, but what he warned about came to pass. He knew what was going to happen. Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah, he knew what was going to happen. He told his extended family, his sons-in-law, and they laughed at him. Thought he was nuts. But he knew, and both Noah knew, and Lot knew, because God had told them. And we have in His Word a revelation as to what is going to happen. And that's what we've been looking at. Looking at the signposts that indicate that the time of the Lord's return is getting close. And I'll go over in detail the things that we have looked at, but we've looked at the things in the world that will take place that announce the coming of the Lord. We've looked at things in Israel that announce the coming of the Lord, and then we have gone on to look at things that will happen in Jerusalem that will announce the nearness of the Lord's return. And we've been looking at the 3.5 years in which two men will stand up in Jerusalem and preach, and their ministry will take place just before the Lord returns. When these two men will be seen, and they will be seen, they will be seen. We have looked at the miracles they will perform. We read there how that anybody who tries to hurt them, they'll be killed. They'll be killed. That will make them very different from any preacher in this age that has gone before them. Because preachers in this age were required by God to just put up with abuse and persecution. If you're hit on one cheek, you turn the other one. That was God's command to His people in this age. But here at the end of the age, these two men, these two prophets will be raised up, and they will have power given to them to retaliate against their enemies. You see, these two men are a foretaste of what's about to happen. See, God's judgment's coming. God's judgment's against men who have rejected the gospel and hated the Savior. And God will deal with them in judgment. But just before that happens, there's a little foretaste of what's coming in the ministry of these two men. Because when men try to hurt them, they're killed. The prophets have power to kill them. Now, as I say, the whole world will know about it. If you're alive, you'll know about it. You'll know about it within days of them beginning their ministry. The world will be talking about them. And the schemes that men will put together to try and stop them and silence them and put an end to their preaching. And the miracles, the plagues that they're bringing upon those in and around Jerusalem who oppose them. There'll be plenty of schemes. How can we stop these boys? And they'll try this, they'll try that, and try the other thing. That's why it says, they that try to hurt them, they'll be killed. They'll be killed. And we just can't really imagine this happening. But there it is, there it is. And let your mind focus upon what it is God has to say. Verse 5, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I tell you, this is going to cause some sensation across the world. But when you hear about it, don't you be carried away with all the things that will be said if you're alive when this happens. And if you're not alive, if it lies beyond your day, you be sure to tell. When you become an adult, you be sure to tell others who will follow on after you about these truths. About these truths. Because without a shadow of a doubt, when verse 5 begins to take place, there will be men who will say, oh, these are wicked men. These are evil men. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. They're killing people. Yeah, but you will know that in God's word, in the verse 5 here of chapter 11 of Revelation, they're killing those who are trying to kill them. This is not an act of wickedness on their part, it's an act of justice. Well, we've been looking at them, and I've sort of gone over that again, but last time we were together, we considered the end of their witness. It comes to an end. After 3.5 years, it comes to an end, and it says they're killed. They're killed. That will cause quite a sensation among Christians. Any Christians who have not taken account of what God says in His Word, they'll be shocked by it. They'll be devastated by it. To see them killed. And for 3.5 days they're lying in the street there. I've no doubt that it's likely that people going by will kick their bodies. I can well imagine that happening. We're not told that it will happen, but I can imagine they would abuse the bodies of these men. It's not that long ago that the wicked men out there in Iraq, I think it was, those wicked, evil Muslims, with their cruel hatred, when they killed some soldiers, they dragged their body through the streets. Just dragged them through the streets. I think that shows the same spirit as undoubtedly will be manifested when these men are killed. When these men are killed. But after 3.5 days, look what happens. We are told that after all the rejoicing that has taken place and the gifts and the presents and the holidays that to celebrate their death, we read in verse 11, and after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet. You know, boys and girls, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ in these days has suffered many, many setbacks. Many setbacks. Times when it seems as if God's work is really flourishing and going forward, and then suddenly it comes to a halt, as it were, and there's a great decline, and everything's thrown into reverse, and the enemy's rejoicing once again, and back in power, and the cause of God seems to have suffered a great defeat. Nowhere better is that illustrated than the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus for 3 years had gone through the countryside. Please, you just think about this. He had gone through the countryside, and every village he went into, there were miracles wrought. I have no doubt, you know, that thousands and thousands of people were healed in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what we read in the last chapter of John's Gospel? In the verse 25, the very last verse of the book, we read, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Now you just think about that. What we have written in the Gospels is only a sample, only an illustration of what the Savior did. So for every leper he healed, you could multiply that many, 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 many times. And every blind person, again, many times. Everybody that was healed of the palsy or any sickness, you could multiply that number again and again and again and again. I believe that thousands and thousands and thousands of people were wonderfully healed by the Lord, not to mention the fact that they were saved, so that physically as well as spiritually, they were changed by the power of God. Things were looking really as if God's kingdom on earth had come. And then came the cross. And there on the middle tree was hanging the one who had wrought all these miracles. We have very little idea of the terrible despondency that the disciples must have felt. It's all over. You remember what the two on the road to Emmaus said when the Lord Jesus drew near to them, but they didn't recognize him. And they said, "Why are you so sorrowful?" And they said, "Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard what has happened in Jerusalem this last few days? He whom we believed was the Messiah has been crucified." Oh, I think those words just breathe sorrow and disappointment and defeat. And that has happened many times throughout the ages. Tremendous advance, and then it all seemed to peter out and stop. And here it is again. 3.5 years these men had preached in power and had wrought miracles the like of which the world had never seen before, I think. And suddenly they're dead. And I am sure that it will bring many of God's people in that day into the depths of despair. I say many, not all, because the wise will look at Revelation chapter 11. And they will say to their friends, "Yes, they're dead. They're dead. But you just wait 3.5 days till you see what will happen." You see, boys and girls, the weakness of the cause of God, which has been so evident on so many occasions throughout the ages, is not how it will end. It's not how it will end. God's cause is not going to be permanently in a state of defeat. But a glorious day is coming. Just like this resurrection here. Just like the resurrection here. After 3.5 days, a voice is heard from heaven. We are told in the verse 11, that called unto them, "Stand upon your feet." And the Spirit of God enters them. And it says in verse 12, "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither." I just wonder if the people around will hear that voice as well. Not just the two men, but maybe others around will hear the voice from heaven saying, "Come up hither." But whether they hear the voice or not, they'll see the resurrecting of these two witnesses from the dead. You know, I have to say that I believe that that shows the mercy of God. Shows the mercy of God to the wicked people in the city of Jerusalem. The wicked people who had rejoiced over their death. It shows the mercy of God. God could quietly, in the middle of the night, have taken those two men up to heaven. But he didn't. He did it in front of all the people of Jerusalem. Indeed, I have no doubt it will be before the world. If you have ever watched the news in your home, you'll hear a report sometimes, and now we go over to such and such a courthouse to hear the latest on the ongoing trial of, or some other event that is taking place over a number of days, and there are the cameras, and we join them. It'll be the same with these men. I've no doubt about that. And the world will see this happening. And God is showing to the world that these men were of Him. He's reminding the world, you opposed my man. You were wrong. That's mercy. That's mercy. That's mercy. God could have left that wicked people in Jerusalem in their wicked rebellion. But He gives them yet another warning. By raising these men from the dead publicly and visibly, God demonstrated by raising these men that their witness and their words were from heaven. That God was in what they did. And those who opposed them were opposing God. That's mercy. That's not how you or I would have acted toward these wicked people. I always remember, and with this I'll close, I always remember a great Ulster preacher, W.P. Nicholson. I didn't hear him, but I've heard him on tape saying this. When in the heat of his preaching and telling men and women they need to get right with God and their opposition to the gospel is so wrong and they have been so wicked by opposing the gospel, he said, as I say, in the heat of his spirit, he said, if I were God, I would have damned you long ago. None of us could ever show the tolerance that God has shown to wicked men and women. Here, he shows it again in the raising of these men publicly and thus declaring to wicked, wicked Jerusalem, you're on the wrong path. You're opposing God and you can't win. You've done your worst against these two men, but I'm raising them from the dead. You can't win. Oh, give thought to these boys and girls. May the Lord bless His word. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, take our thanks and write Your word on hearts, we ask. Amen.